Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo. Boo.
Stop crying.
Ooh. We missed Taya, though.
Did you say we missed Taya?
Yeah, we're crying. That's horrible.
Well done, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Proud of you. No, you can stay here for now if you want. It's up to you. All right. Welcome to JC Lounge. This is a plot. This is a spot for thinkers and vibers. If you want to see a deep conversation, see us all hang out, have a deep chat, you're more than welcome. If you just want to be here for the vibes, for a good time, you're also more than welcome. Like Aaron said, if you're Christian, if you're non-Christian, if you're just a human, you're welcome here. I'm Tilo. I lead JC for me. Over here, we got Nathan to my right.
Yeah, Nathan.
Behind this camera, we got Rebecca. On this swivelly camera here, we got Joe. Over here we got Ellen, and to my right we have the lovely Pearl, my little sister Pearl. What's going on? And over here we have our guest. The reason we have a guest is because you guys know from the last episode Taya's not here this month, but we have this amazing guy. Who are you? Sorry. Introduce yourself.
So I'm Aaron. So I know T from Brunel. Let's just get into that. And I think it was like your first track we kind of just started knowing each other through CU and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of, yeah, it just grew from that. And yeah, I'm part of like a church in Watford. So
yeah,
just doing like things there, helping the church out.
And Aaron also does graphic design. He was actually pretty much the lead creative design for Authors for the album. Yeah, he helped lead the photo shoot.
Which I loved.
Yeah, so shout out to Aaron. He's an incredibly funny human being, but he loves Jesus, and he also is a heathen. So we're going to see what discussions we can have.
Jesus. Right.
Some more happenings has been happening. There's loads we could have loads we could have spoken about, but the first thing that came to mind for me was the stuff that the Queen said. There's been a lot of stuff going on with the monarchy. So the Queen said, I'll leave it to Ella. Ellen,
okay, so,
what is wrong with me today? Sorry, Ellen, go
ahead. No, all good. So Queen Elizabeth II announced not that long ago that Camilla would be queen consort when her husband, Prince Charles, the Duke of Wales, becomes king of England. So queen consort is basically a noun for the king's wife. It was kind of, people weren't sure if she was going to be a princess, if she would be queen, and there's been this whole discussion about what it is, but the queen has made that clear now.
Made that statement. Yeah, so it made me think about, like, I think we somewhat unanimously love Big Liz. Like, the Queen is great.
Liz.
Wait, hold on, wait. Do we all love the Queen here? How do you feel, Aaron? Aaron's looking at me like he does.
Well, to be honest, I'm a French citizen, so really mind about the Queen. But I think it's just, I think she's a great, like, person to be, like, who's representing for the UK. But I think she's just, like, her time has come, man.
Damn.
It's in terms of what? Not her life.
Not her life. I mean, like, I don't
the monarchy.
Think, like, so I was just reading a few articles on it, and like, politically, they're not involved anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're just there for like tourism and like financial gain, as in not as in a bad way, as in just tourism.
Yeah.
So like, we see all these scandals with, obviously, you know,
Prince
Boris
Andrew.
And all these things, and even Prince Andrew, exactly, and like, if we had an active queen that we did like previously, like, you know, Queen Elizabeth I or whatnot, you know, there would have been something happening right now. But with this current queen, is like, she's very passive. And I think like, this is when we need her the most.
Interesting.
Like, to bring correction and...
Interesting.
But there isn't that.
But, yeah. So, but okay, personally for me, I'm for monarchy. Because like, first of all, like the queen, like the fact I'm in this country right now, like, because of the queen, like, if anything, and like, I have no issue with the queen, and I have issue with the monarchy. Like, to me, like, when I think of the UK, when I think of the UK and like England and London, I think of monarchy. Like, that's like the staple of like who we are. Like, monarchy and UK go together. Like, if I don't see,
but how much does it actually affect?
I know,
your life?
But I know. Like, I think just having a monarchy too, having an example of like a moral example, what do we should work upon. I know we're not perfect because we see the scandals and stuff like that. Right. But just having like Finch, I know the Queen right now is in her age right now, that she's gonna retire soon. She's having a 70-year jubilee, premium jubilee. I'm not too sure. But and now she's quite old, and now we go, I want to get like a young person, like someone like.
Yeah. Did he just Prince say premium King John's, jubilee?
Prince, and Prince Charles, or even Prince William, someone who's younger and who can be active and can, you know, dive in political issues and can, you know, set an example and a role model for us. So I think, you know, having a monarchy, one, is great for just to have, you know, Buckingham Palace and like.
Right, but do you actually look up to them in terms of morals? Actually, because the thing that Christians love now is like the Queen's speech is like becoming more and more and more like overtly Christian every Christmas. So everyone's like, yeah, go on, Queen, give them the gospel, blah, blah. So we like them now, right? But actually, them scandals have been happening since the monarchy's existed. And so this idea of giving a moral example, how effective is it?
I think I also think, yeah, why does it have to take like... Like, I'm sure the Queen must have known about Prince Andrew.
For sure.
But because the news let it out, that's when this whole kind of pulling down of his, like, her titles are coming down.
Yeah.
So, for me, I think there's a trust issue here as well. So,
really quickly, can I just jump in? What can we just say what the Prince Andrew scandal is?
The case against Prince Andrew. Oh, my goodness, Andrew. Duke of York. So... basically, a lady by the name of Virginia Guffreys has basically accused him of sexually assaulting her on three different occasions when she was 17 years old. In this country, that is still a legal age of consent. However, she has basically brought this to court and in front of, well, the world, that he's sexually assaulted her. In these terms, I mean, I guess the kind of issues that people are having is because there have been ties made to Jeffrey Epstein who,
yeah.
Only in the last few years has recently come out as a notorious, you know, paedophile, someone who sexually assaults people, and that kind of thing. So because of his kind of links to Epstein, because of the testimony of Virginia and all those kind of things, Prince Andrew is in a bit of hot water at the moment. Yeah, I mean, it's actually quite interesting. In the last few days, Jeffrey Epstein's, well, they're calling him his pimp, was actually found dead in prison not long after. This has literally come out like 4 hours ago.
Ghislaine Maxwell?
No.
Then we know there's something wrong.
I mean, this is why it's like still quite relevant because it's literally only days after they've settled. So basically they've settled out of court, which means that there is no admission of guilt. However, only a few days after that, Jean-Luc Brunel, who people are calling Jeffrey Epstein's pimp, is found dead from suicide in prison. And
that's
just kind of crazy.
To Epstein as well, isn't it?
He was found dead in a
maximum security prison. Yeah. He was found dead.
Yeah. So suicide. I mean, obviously Prince Andrew is trying to draw a line under this whole thing, and it's...
Yeah.
It just keeps...
It's tricky because, like, I hear what you're saying, Nathan, and I agree. There is such value in having, like, an aspirational figure and someone that you look to and go, wow, we like when we're in really hard times, we can aspire to this thing and we can model ourselves after this thing. But they are human, right? So first of all, should we even be looking at humans in that light, where it's like we're elevating you to this thing and whatnot? But then on top of that as well, you have these kind of scandals attached to them, and I think everyone respects the Queen, right?
Sure.
And everyone values who the Queen is, what she stands for. Every English person, because if you go to Ireland, it's a different thing because of the monarchy, right?
Yeah.
But when the Queen dies, that's where the questions come in for me.
Yeah.
Because Charles and Camilla have their own whole history and backstory, there's this whole tension there around, and like...
They're not being very popular as well.
Right, exactly.
Diana, right?
But then, But then,
I feel like, what does the world look like? What does the UK look like without monarchy? Like,
yeah.
What does it look like? I feel like, we get with another monarchy, but we're still going to see Prince William as Prince William. We're not going to unsee him being Prince William. Buckingham Palace, like, all these, like, you know, like, landmarks we have in the UK. It's going to be like, what, Tower of London? What's that anymore? Like, this is history now. Like,
but you know, like this, I mean, you look through
even
history,
the Queen's Guard, like that's going to be gone.
Yeah,
like.
But
no, look at America.
If you look through history, though, there's numerous countries that had monarchies that got rid of the monarchy.
Got rid of them.
It becomes part of a particular
if
time.
If anything, they're functioning possible. Better because... Like,
I don't know if Russia's functioning better because of
oh, well, the monarchy. Yeah, let's leave Russia.
Well, you know, I'm just saying.
Apparently, there's going to be a war coming up now.
That's the... Yeah, if they invade. Yeah.
Next hot delight headline.
Yeah, that's a bit crazy, but... I think one of the other things about the Prince Andrew situation was that he had a BBC interview.
Oh, yeah.
And he basically just acted like there was nothing that happened. And that the photo there, like, he doesn't remember it well or anything.
Yeah, right.
So there
right,
was
right,
this
right, right,
kind of, you know, obviously we're here and as we're people and, you know, how we function is through trust and through relationship,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So... when we're hearing like the prince and we're like, yeah, you know what?
You
know,
I trust you.
Because, you know, yeah. I think Britain and America always have a bit of like friction.
Yeah.
So we're always going to support Prince Andrew. But when you now see the scandal come out and you're like, oh, like we were supporting this geezer. Yeah. It's just kind of wild.
Yeah.
And like, it's a bit unfair on us because now we look like, and then we got Boris as well.
Yeah.
Like, we look like clowns. Even Putin, he was talking about Boris saying, you know what, look at this geezer. This is the guy, kind of guy Boris, who's, you know, running the country.
Well, look, I think if we're honest with ourselves, the moral standard in this country is non-existent, right? And like, from whatever age young people start doing whatever, they get to be into whatever. You have people come over from like Albania and come to this country and go, I can't believe that you let your kids do it. Like, you can't believe that, but this is the state of the country. There's no real moral guidance, right? And so when you talk about how effective the monarchy is, well, just look at the state of the country.
Yeah.
And the killer thing is a lot of people will say that's freedom, right?
Yeah.
Actually, this is the result of Western ideals coming to fruition. You know, each person is free to do what they want to do. But in doing that, you're allowing everyone and anyone to make bad decisions if they want to with no consequence, supposedly, right? So I wonder actually if the country is kind of reflecting the monarchy right now, you know, where you have this old guard, this old way of thinking that's respectful, but everyone under that is like sus.
Yeah, it's very like
easy. Do you think
easy.
The bad outweigh the good for the monarchy?
Nah. Wait, the bad outweighs
like,
the good?
What do you mean by that? Like, do you believe like there's more things, like, about, like, there's more harm having a monarchy than good? Like, this good side of the monarchy, like, connection with question. Other countries, and, like what's that thing called again? Oh, my head's going blank. Just, like, the relationship we have from, like...
When we saw Meghan Markle
and Harry.
Right? Harry, and that little that issue, and you saw a bit of racism there.
Yeah.
Well, and then you're seeing, like, one, Prince Andrew. So, you know, it's... Like, my usually, God. Distrust Ellen, doesn't happen straight away. Oh, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, but isn't the monarchy, I mean, this might be quite controversial, but isn't the monarchy system based on quite a racial undertone? It's the kind of idea of we are this bloodline that has been chosen by God by to God. Reign supreme, sovereign over a whole group of other people, immediately going against what the Bible says, that man are created equal. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to push that too far because,
but there
know,
are,
but
there are immediate
there is that
racial...
kind of that is that undertone there.
Yeah, it's probably a bit more than an undertone too. Like, you remember, I don't know if you know, but like hundreds of years ago, they look for blue body. That's what you'd be called, like blue body, because
blue blood.
Blue blood. Sorry, not blue body.
Blood.
Because your you'd be so pale, so fair. That you could see the veins. That was considered to be the highest
and royal. And
right. Yeah. And so it is, you know, and I mean, you lot have seen Meghan Markle and their kid.
Yeah.
He's not dark by any stretch of that, but just the fact that there's, but just to shoot some bail real quick. I don't know how many of you lot watched The Crown ever, but like in The Crown, you see a lot. And I think in how they report as well, the Queen and the family members aren't so much the issue in that kind of stuff as the surrounding officers that maintain the idea of the monarchy. Mm. And even then, it seemed as if they were quite outside. Of course, I'm based on some of a TV show, but...
To call it the system? I think Meghan Markle called it the... I forgot. She says something about... I think she called it the system.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't even call it the monarchy. Like, it's like... Not like an organization. It's not like the monarchy. It's like the...
It's everything around it. And I think it's interesting what you say there about going against the Bible, because, you know, at the same time, there's kings all through the Bible, you know, and this idea that God has appointed a leader. Mm. But if that leader, like you said, doesn't even really lead anymore when it comes to politically or otherwise, although I suppose
then the next question is, right, like if we believe that God is sovereign, and I think in the scriptures it talks about how, you know, God appoints who's our leaders and the government and all sorts, that's why we have to respect them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, as believers, where do we find the kind of, like, that place where we respect them, but also be like, well, this is not for me. Like, when does that come? Because obviously we understand that God does place every person in power. It's not like, oh, like, God is not surprised that now Boris or Trump or even Biden or whoever it is right now, even Putin, are in charge.
Yeah.
If anything, because he's sovereign, he knows what's going on.
Right.
It's just now for us, how do we respond or do we react? Because obviously there's a difference when we react.
Yeah.
Then we're not thinking straight. We're just thinking, oh, you know what?
Yeah.
No, this is bad. This is bad. But what is God doing behind all of this? Like, and then that's what kind of keeps me a bit like grounded. It's like, okay, Boris is doing all these things, right? But what is God doing behind it? Like, how do we kind of come about it? Because yes, even though there was, you know, all these isolations and a lot of people gone through a lot of, you know, depression and anxiety and so on, like, that wasn't just for us to be like, oh, just stating the problem. If anything, the church has to be the solution. And this is like if you're really going to call yourself a Christian, you need to move like how Jesus did. Now, Jesus had moments where he had to go up and pray. But then there was moments where there was maybe a paralyzed man, I think it's in Mark. There's a paralyzed man and he asked, can you heal me? And he was so, like, he was moved with compassion that he had to look at that situation. Now, he could have just done his own thing. I think maybe most people might be like, you know what, I'm just going away on my own route and I just want to do what I want to do. But how does Jesus do it? Or why has Jesus done? He could have just walked on, done his prayer, you know, talked to the Father, but he was moved with the compassion. He knew that, you know what, this person shouldn't be living with this pain. Like, that in itself is like giving us a question. Like, you know what, when things are happening in this world, are we asking God, hey, God, look, I'm in this position. Are you able to come? And he would say, yes. But I think oftentimes we don't ask God, hey, look, what are you doing in this place? What are you, what's happening? We're just like, oh.
No, I think
move on with our own maybe routines and whatnot.
I think you're 100% right. And I think linking that and just wrapping this conversation, Jesus is doing that within a kingdom that's occupied by another kingdom that has a very, very sinful king, Nero, right? Well, I don't think it's Nero at the time, but still it's Rome, right? Yeah. And so Jesus's day-to-day action isn't dictated by that more than it is by God, you know? So when we're looking at monarchy and Prince Andrew and scandals or whatever, we have to be really vigilant to go, okay, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, like no tax evasion if you're a Christian because you don't respond, like all this stuff. But at the same time, what is God calling me to? Where is God calling me to? And actually, what is the need in front of me? That's where I get really vexed with churches, because it doesn't, it's not about the need in front of you. It's about the idea that you want to do, and you push that on top of what's right there, you know. That's what I would say. I think that's a good question though, to like, we can we can think about that later on, but like,
that's fine.
Is it more good or bad? I think that's a good question. It's hot take time, right?
scared.
Oh. Nathan's got the hot take for us. Mm-hmm. He's terrified. We're going to see why. Here we go.
Okay. I'm trying to think.
Take your time, bro.
Okay.
Say it into the mic.
All right. Cool, guys. Let me explain. Atheist life doesn't matter.
If what?
Is that...
He said atheist lives don't matter. Like black lives matter.
But no,
like,
because... Of course, let me explain. Like, listen, I know it's a big statement. Because I want to just word it much better because...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm listening.
I want to just change it.
No, okay.
I mean, it's a bit rude, man. I'm not going to lie.
Let me explain it.
Because like, we're all humans. You can't just section
no,
us.
Let me explain it.
Like, let me explain the reason why. Like, of course, that's a big statement to say because like I'm not saying it because I believe that. I don't believe that at all. But the reason why I'm saying it because we all live in a world where the world has an objective good in the world, right? We believe there's objective good values in the world. And I believe that, well, atheist, in my definition, doesn't believe in a God. And I believe that we can't, objective good and God have to be together. You can't separate an objective goodness. So what I mean by objective good, I mean universal morality. Yes. Everyone understand this. You live in a world, there is a universal morality, right?
Yeah.
And you need to have, if you can recognize that there's a universal morality, then you have to recognize there's a God. Because you can't have...
Where does that good come from if there isn't a God?
That good come from God.
That overriding good, absolute good.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, that good.
Can't be separated from the idea of a God.
Yeah. So what I mean by atheist doesn't matter, I mean this. Of course, atheist doesn't believe in a God, right?
Yeah.
So in that sense, they don't believe in morality. And the reason why I'm saying it, because I want to ask you this question, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Where did we get our moral belief?
What do I think, or what?
Where do we get like answering the question? Where did we go?
Bro, I'm with you. I think it comes from God. I think the inclination of a human to think there's got to be a good or a bad comes from God. There's no way to explain it
because we're all Christian.
No, but like, think of what atheists think. I know this might be biased, but atheists or someone who doesn't believe in God don't believe that we came from nothing. We're carbon. Robots were literally an accident from nature and everything, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's what atheists believe in. They believe in evolution.
It's chance.
Yeah, and chance and all that kind of
stuff. Purpose, but
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So in that sense, yeah, and the reason why I'm saying atheist life doesn't matter, if that's the case, then if we're literally just an accident, nature or animals, like literally we're human beings, I think a lot of atheists believe that human beings are just smart animals. That means if a cat or if a lion kills a lion, yeah, that's someone said. Oh, but that's a lion being a lion. But if we're all this, if we're all like,
if it's the same for humans, if it's the same for humans,
why is it different from a person to kill a human being?
I'm with you on that.
Oh, that makes sense. You go to a basic one. Did Jesus die for animals?
No.
As long as you know that, because we have souls and cats and dogs and everything else.
You don't know that though. How do you know that?
They don't.
What are you joking? Have you ever seen one like a woman like when there's like a storm?
Let's go back to Genesis, right?
But look, but
let's
if
go
you're
back
an,
to Genesis.
But, no, but this is the thing. If you're an atheist, that doesn't matter.
Okay,
that doesn't matter.
Should we bring it back to?
Not even just if I'm an atheist. If I'm not a Christian, I don't care about what you're gonna say about Genesis. We're not saying that
we should hate
people or anything like that.
I'm not saying.
I think there's real value in the point.
Oh yeah.
If there isn't an external good or bad, right? There isn't a source outside of us that says this and this is that, and this is all chance. Then none of this matters.
Like, what's the point?
None of it matters.
Like, well, like, there's no purpose in life. Like, this world's gonna die.
So
we're here to ruin the world.
Life doesn't matter.
What is the purpose?
Just,
like, what's,
I'm completely with
like,
you.
Like, I'm gonna be honest with you as well. Like, first of all, atheists. What you say in the Bible is atheists don't even believe that.
Right.
They don't even believe what you just said right now.
Right.
They don't believe I believe what the Bible said and the moral world the Bible said. I 100% believe that. And that's why I believe everyone's life matters because there's value in life because the Bible says that. But for atheists who doesn't believe in anything, some atheists may believe evolution, which is literally survival of the fittest. So the strongest person in the world,
you win,
has the most, has the opinion. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I'm going to be honest, like, I'm going to just be honest with you. Like, for instance, yeah, I believe, because if your atheist doesn't believe God, I believe they don't believe in the objective good. So that means they believe in the subjective good. So yeah. Basically, in that sense, yeah, the strongest, it's powerful man in the world has to say in, and if everyone doesn't agree with that, then that's your fault, because there's no purpose.
That's what people talk about with history all the time, is that whoever wins writes history. So it's all dependent on who won as to what's good or what's bad.
And what's good?
If we lost World War II, like I was there. If England and the Allies lost World War II, the whole telling of that is completely different.
Yeah, exactly.
Completely different. So in that sense, if it is objective good versus subjective good, and especially now where there is no absolute truth, there is no objective good, then none of this matters. I'm sorry. Like, we're just all...
We're human beings, and your moral belief is your opinion.
Who cares?
Like, for instance, I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah.
There's people out there who doesn't believe Black Lives Matter or white people has the life to exist. There's people out there who thinks women are less than men. There's people out there there's so many people who has different opinion.
I'm kidding.
But in that case, like, that's your opinion. But I think it's important. We need to have a high sort of. I think if you put man as the highest authority of opinion, I think that's when you have a world where it's doomed.
Yeah.
So that's when you need a higher calling, a higher person to give us that objective moral values for us to
do. Huh? No, wait, let's see if we're in on this or not. So, start here. Are you in? So what are we saying? Atheist lives don't matter. Or you want to put a question mark on it?
In that statement, I'm definitely out because I don't...
No, but you can't be out on your own hot take.
Huh?
You can't be out on your own hot
take. Tell that to Giles, man.
Oh, well, done. Look, we're not saying anything to Giles.
Okay, cool. Then we can... That's a good statement.
Screw it, man. Atheist lives don't matter. In or out?
Out.
I'm in. This is the first one I'm in on. Atheist lives don't matter. I'm in on that because it makes no sense. In or out? Agree or disagree?
Wait, I agree with the... Like...
The conversation.
Yeah, context of it, but I don't agree with the statement. As in, it's a bit unempathetic and I'm not like that. So
no.
I'm not going to... I mean, we need to reword,
guys. The reason why I'm in.
No, we just need it in or out right now.
In the statement alone, I'm out. But in the I'm
exactly,
out.
Bro,
but
exactly.
But what I'm talking about, like,
he's got wisdom
to understand. Like,
you know what? To make you feel better, I'll put a question mark on the end of it.
Okay.
Atheist lives don't matter.
All right, I think that's fair.
That's softer, right?
Do they think it matters? Maybe.
Okay, cool. So, topic sock without the sock. Every month, we have three topics that we don't know. What's in there. There's three questions we don't
what's
know what's going to come
what's
up. So, we're going to pick a question between...
Do you
can't talk.
That?
We're going to pick a number between 1, 2, or 3. Pearl's going to pick the number between 1, 2, or 3. Let's go, P.
Two.
Basic. Two. Right, here we go.
Question number two. Does God tell you to break up with anyone?
Oh, you should know about this one.
Can we do number one? Real quick, mate. How do I know I should break up with someone? Well, first of all...
Well, no, that's not
the
question.
Oh, it's God. Will God tell you to?
Does God tell you to break up with someone?
Well, then I'll think, okay, did God tell me to get into the relationship?
Interesting. If God does tell you to get with someone or to break up with them, okay, here's where I would start. Does God care about your relationship?
Yes.
I think he cares about everything in your life.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he cares
because
about you.
Because he wants you to be, to live in the fullness that he's given you, right? So,
right. Okay. And I would agree, right? Mm-hmm. God is intimately
involved. He wants to be involved
in you.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? And wants to be involved. So yes, God would care about relationships. Also, relationships, especially romantic relationships, mold and shape human beings more than anything. The people that you're around, the people you care about, the people you're involved with will mold the way you think, the way you dress, the way you act, the way you speak. So who you are reflects the people that you're around. So God, if God cares about what you do and who you are, he's going to care about the people that you're around as well.
Mm.
So to start there, the foundation for me is this is something that God is interested in, right? But just by the character of God, I understand. Would he tell you to break up with someone?
No.
With that foundation? No.
I would say no, because, I mean, God is a loving God. I believe that God is a loving God. However, we are his children, and sometimes you got to let a child do that stupid thing that you told them 10 times not to do. And if that's, oh yeah, like, don't get in a relationship with that guy. Don't get in a relationship with that girl. You know that it's not right. Mm-hmm. You know that it's going to lead you away from me. But then he's going to allow you to do that mistake that you know you shouldn't do. And then I guess that's why I was kind of thinking about those two verses. Like, are you taking refuge in humans or are you trusting in God?
Mm.
Are you, however, when these things do happen, like when you go into that relationship that you're like, I probably shouldn't really be here, but I'm going to kind of be here anyway. Cause you know, God's plan and everything. And it might be the way I need to go. Mm. So then you go through that and you run through that path. However, once you finally, like, the light bulb comes on and you're like, oh, actually, yeah, this is a really bad idea, he will also provide a way that you can endure it and the way till you get out of it.
Mm.
Like, okay. But whether or not, it's your decision whether or not you ultimately break up with that person.
Yeah,
however,
that's
you
true.
Are allowed to feel the consequences of your sin.
Right, but God telling you something, because I think you're right, but God telling you something doesn't mean you got to do it.
Oh, no, you know? No.
So
no,
God
you don't
can still
to.
Tell you to break up with someone.
Oh, yeah.
And you ignore it. The question around whether he would tell you is about whether or not he is invested in relationships. And then, does he speak?
Mm.
And I think the answer to both is yes. So I think, yes, he would tell you to. But how he tells you is different things. I think a lot of times.
I mean, I guess the question is, are you listening?
Right. But and I think, what are you listening to as well? Because a lot of times people, we were literally talking about this earlier, it's like the idea of like God's voice being this really like ethereal thing, oh, an audible voice, and I'm waiting to hear the audible voice. You can actually look at the character of God and figure out what you should or shouldn't do by just following the character of God,
I'm literally about to say that. I think the Bible tells you, it kind of shows you an example of what you need to look for, or like, just like, wisdom and knowledge, don't surround yourself with these people because these people will shape your character and all that kind of stuff. Like, make sure you're marrying someone that is equally to your values and stuff like that, because it's like, God's not saying, like, God's not saying, oh, you picked the wrong person. No, oh, fool.
Isn't he?
Probably doing it, but he's not going to.
Should we go there?
Okay, no.
Bro, okay.
What Bible are you reading?
it's like, God makes bad. God uses something bad for his glory. He makes something good. And I think that's a bold statement as well. But I think, you know, wherever you choose a good decision or bad decision, I think God is going to somehow make it good again.
He can.
He can.
He won't always.
Huh?
It's not like God uses every bad thing for glory.
But I think
some bad things are bad.
Like
things.
If you come back, I think I really believe if you're.
Yeah, but where do you get that from?
Yeah, like,
the world. Look at the world.
Yeah, and
do you think every bad thing has happened?
All things. So what does all things mean? Does it mean something?
Where pull up the scripture. He worked all things
work together for his good.
For his good.
Yeah. For those who love him as well.
Yeah, for those who love I'll literally
That's so some bad things are bad.
But I think I need to read into the context.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I found it. Hi. Yes. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28.
Right.
What does it say before and after?
That doesn't mean that God's going to use bad things. Yeah, every bad thing is going to come.
Okay, what does all mean to you?
I believe, no.
Everything means every bad thing is going to come.
I believe if you're with God.
If I believe all things, I mean all things.
I believe
in a God who can make all things good.
All right, so what good has come of the Holocaust, please?
But that, that's like.
That's a thing, isn't it?
Look at what's happening
now,
though.
But like, okay.
Now, I've not looked into the Holocaust as much. Do you know a bit more?
Okay, I don't, like I said, I don't really know a lot about the Holocaust, but I know this, during the times or stuff like that happened, there's been people who actually get together, pray. And I know there's a story of a lady who got together a lot of Christian and praying for people.
100%.
And then a miracle did happen. And I'm not,
Christians are just always going to try and make something fit the idea they have. The Holocaust wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
It doesn't matter what good things people did during it. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't good. But since then, it's still not good. There's historically horrendous things that have happened since then that are still not good. And we can go, that's not good. We don't have to go, oh, God's going to make this one work out.
Okay, okay.
It's just not good.
But T, you need to understand, it says all things work. So work means
read
progression,
the verse again,
yes
please.
Or no?
Okay.
Yeah, do the...
sorry, Alex, I'm just going...
Can I read a couple of verses before that? I could read 26 as well. Okay, let's go from verse 26 instead. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through the wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Should I keep going or?
Where does it say he works all things together for good?
Can you read that again?
Let's just go back to the question.
Yeah, okay, cool.
First of all, that's good, but. the question together
for my good, exactly.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, but okay, look, listen. I think God knows human beings will always make mistakes. Like he knows that, and he knows you're always going to make the wrong choices. People are going to make wrong choices. I'm not saying, I feel like it's just like...
No, sorry.
I thought an example of like King David and like Bathsheba and like God had, you know, when David did something wrong, he committed adultery, he killed a person to get with another person. He did two things. In that situation, like, that wasn't a good situation. That was not good. And someone's life got lost because of it. But it doesn't mean, like, many years later, God used that relationship to build, and through his son, King Solomon, to build temple, to build, to even use that linear, the line to, you know, to have someone that can come up from that line and the savior and what's it called? God used David's line to make Jesus come to save the world. He may not see the goodness sometimes. I think it's hard to see the goodness in badness. And I think it's hard to see that. Oh. But I don't know, guys.
I agree with that.
So
do you then think, if you're in a relationship, is it possible for you to be in a relationship with someone else that loves Jesus that God doesn't want you to be in that relationship?
Yeah, I'll repeat that one.
Is it possible for you to be in a relationship with someone, right? And that person loves Jesus, you love Jesus, but God will tell you to break up with that person. Is that possible?
I would say so.
Why would God do that?
Because that's just not part of his purpose for you.
Thank you.
So then go back to the question of... But that's only one-sided answer. I would say no.
Why?
Because then that goes to the notion of, like, there's only one person for each person. But that's dependent on every single person.
Does God have a plan for your life?
He has a plan.
Okay.
But his plan doesn't mean there's only...
So does God have multiple plans for your life? Or does God have a plan for your life?
Yeah, plan. But that doesn't mean one wife.
So what are we talking about?
I do understand what you're saying, though, because, like...
Yeah. I get what you're saying, too. It's just wrong.
I know, but we had this analogy. I remember a few episodes... it was probably a couple of years ago when we had this analogy, but about how when you're going on a journey... You get on one bus, that doesn't mean that when you're finished with that bus or that bus terminates, that doesn't mean that you're at the end of your journey. Same with a relationship. If you're in a relationship with someone who is a Christian, who is a non-Christian, whatever that person may be, just because you have reached the end of that relationship doesn't mean that there isn't something past that kind of thing. And I guess with your question of, can you date someone who is a Christian and then God still tell you to break up with them? I would say yes, because... You keep going forward in that relationship. You're meant to learn things from that bit. You're meant to, obviously, as Nathan said, character build, all of these kind of things. You're meant to learn, you know, it's all for God's purpose in the end. But ultimately, that's just not the person that you're going to be with. And that's fine. But that doesn't mean that there isn't value in having that relationship.
Right. That's not fine if you don't think that there's a person that God wants you to be with. If you, are with person B, you both love Jesus, you both love each other, why would you break up? Why would God tell you to break up?
Okay, yeah. Why would God tell you to break up with someone then? Both loving Christians. Go on.
And in earthly terms, you're compatible with as well.
Okay, you can say whatever.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Like, why would God tell you to break up with this person that you're compatible with and you both love Jesus? Yeah. Why?
Do we have examples in the Bible that God told, like, literally said, don't be with this person?
That's a good point. I don't know if we've got that. We've got examples of like Jesus telling, not Jesus, God telling someone to marry a prostitute and like things like that, where God's saying you need to be in this relationship. God's saying that this is going to happen through this particular relationship with Abraham and Sarah. Like God being invested in a particular way a relationship is and between specific people.
And also, when we talk about relationship, are we talking about just boyfriend and girlfriend, marriage?
I'm talking about marriage here. Sorry.
You're
then,
talking about
then in marriage, oh, like, doesn't marriage it contradict what the Bible says?
I think we're talking about boyfriend and girlfriend. Just because marriage, I don't know that God's... I think when you commit...
Because my intention is when I have a boyfriend... If I have a girlfriend, my intention ain't going to be, like, just a fling. I'm going to... My intention is going to be
that's
married.
Also a problem.
I mean, in the Bible, it says when you find a wife.
That's all
it doesn't
I kind of
say
see
when you
it.
Find a girlfriend. It says when you find a wife in the Bible. Yeah.
Right. Mm. But I also think Christians date too much, like, to like you put too much pressure on the getting to know you part of a dating thing because you're looking for a husband or a wife. Like, actually, just.
Do you, I have a question,
go
guys.
Go on a date, find out about that person.
I have a question, guys. What
you, don't,
makes...
you don't have to go into every day going, is this my husband or is this my wife? That puts too much pressure on it.
Yeah, but then why are you there? Sorry,
I have a question, guys.
Because you might like this person. You like this person, they like you. Let's go and see if we can be out together. If not, cool. You could go out for a couple of months and be like,
so
actually,
is that part of God's plan?
Cool.
So, okay, if we're saying, yeah, as I understand that when it comes to marriage, we all agree that God is not going to say break up with this person. Am I correct?
With your wife.
With your wife. In, with your wife.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's after. That's if there's.
Beck says, unless there's an obvious reason, cool. Like adultery. Or
all right.
Something.
So that's agreed on. Mm-hmm. So why? And we put on this.
But we're not talking about marriage, remember?
Yeah, we're not talking about marriage, but. And this is the context of saying, you know what? This is God's plan, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But then.
Yeah.
You're experimenting with Bear Gal and you're saying this is God's plan. Come on.
Yes.
Come on. Are we where
you
are we?
Who what did you experiment
like, you're telling
girl?
Me, yeah, like you've only gone out with one girlfriend.
No.
One, no
I wish
many.
I had.
When you have a conversation about girlfriend or boyfriend, it's gonna be many. So really, when you're telling me this is God's plan, like, yeah, God is gonna tell you to break up with someone, I'm a bit on the edge with that because I don't think first of all, we need to understand we're all hurt. We're all broken people.
Right.
So, like, what are you trying to get to saying, oh, yeah, God is telling you to leave that person? What? You're better than that person?
Maybe. No, I'm joking.
Yeah. So, I think this is what we need to understand. Like, even when we use terminologies like, and then I know you weren't using it in a bad way, I'm just saying, like, even toxic. Like, I've come to the point where I'm like, I can't even use that against a person because maybe I'm a toxic person because I'm hurt. But how do you measure up toxicity or whatever it is? Is it because they do something more than you, like they lie more than you, but what? You do something more than them, maybe you've got, you know
but
what I mean?
Right, so, but this is the thing, right? Because I completely agree with that, I do. But there still has to be a level where in a relationship you can critique each other and you can go, but you are wrong on this. If I'm so concerned, if I go every single time you get something wrong, I go, but I get stuff wrong too. No one's going to fix anything, right? If she breaks a plate and I go, well, I've broken a plate before, the stuff's still on the floor.
Yeah, but I think it's more about, that's stating the problem. But I would say, okay, how do we come up?
How do we come to a solution? But we can't come to a solution if we don't even acknowledge that the plate is broken and who broke the plate. Maybe you broke the plate out of frustration because something I did, so I have a hand in it too. But we also have to acknowledge what you did, why you did it, right? And that has to be something that you do together in a relationship. If it's just, you did this, you did that, you want to say you did this, but actually it's, I did this as well, you won't get anywhere.
Right. So say in a relationship, right, like there is that aspect of you're not willing to kind of give in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, is God going to still tell you to break up with that person because not...
God...
And this is what I mean when I say, like, God actually tells you in the... Like, say you're, like, hearing from God, right? If you're, like, someone who's... Like, in a relationship with God, do you truly believe that God is going to tell you, you can't be with this person?
But
and obviously there are certain, like, things, like, and I'm talking in the context of you're having a relationship with someone who is God-fearing,
yes,
all these things.
Yeah,
not like
right,
willy-nilly, you know, thing out there. So, you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
Obviously then, you know, you get warnings and signs. And I think one of the things you said as well is, like, you know, in the scripture, it talks about things we need to look out for as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... I think it's for us, I wouldn't say, and this is where my kind of, where the friction is that I don't think, I mean, we make the decision if we want to actually continue with it, and if we can handle her issues and her burdens and whatnot.
I agree.
Can I handle it? Yeah. It's not about, but we can't over spiritualize certain things. So say, oh yeah, God told me. Because sometimes it's not God. I'm not
right. Where do you separate? Yeah.
It's just you. You can't handle it.
On, yeah, I think
your baby.
I think
Jake.
Like I think, like I said, I think there's a being like a big culture over here. Oh, God, tell me I'm decision right.
Yeah.
I think
as an excuse.
And that is, I feel like sometimes it's just, I think it's pointless. It's just, anyway, I don't want to get into that. But what I'm trying to say, I think it's like, okay, cool. I don't, personally for me, and this is my view of it, I don't think God was telling you to don't marry this person. I think God told you what's the standard. Best, that's the standard, what's the wisdom thing or the wise thing you can do.
Yeah.
But whatever you do, it's like, you know,
I think there's the aspect of free will.
Whatever you choose, you choose. God's not gonna be. I don't think God's gonna be opposite of us there. But I'm just God saying to save yourself, to save your spiritual self, and save your like health, mental health, anything. Marry someone that can, you know, I don't know, equally yoke, or marry someone that you can tolerate with, because you're gonna be that person for the rest of your life. So I think God's saying, I don't like, you know what I say about people in relationship and connection, just follow that. And if you do whatever, then
I agree with both of you. And I think you're completely right there. I think people over-spiritualize it. And I think a lot of times God speaking can literally just be you knowing the character of God, knowing what God says, this is the kind of person you should seek.
Yeah.
And you being able to make a decision on top of that. But I also do think there are times, and all you lot know why I think there are times like this, but I do think there are times that God will intervene. There's times where God will intervene, right? And God will go, yes, you two could work, but this is the plan I have for you. It's the same as this person could stay here. This person could do this thing. This person could be in a shirt, whatever, but this is the plan I have for you. That is the character of God, to intervene at these points where something makes sense. You wanted to stay here, but God says, go and do this thing. Do you not see that all through the Bible? Do you not see that all through humans' lives? Why do people leave all these jobs and go to do missionary work over here? If not for God saying, doing this.
I don't know,
but the point is God, and again, I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about when you're dating someone.
Even dating.
And you're considered, right. When you're dating someone, when it's serious, when it's not, whatever, God can and sometimes does intervene and go, no, this is what I want you to do. Do we have a conclusion on that? Does God tell you to break up with people?
Like, you agree with that, and then there's another, like, like I said, like what me and Aaron said, and then what you said, there is some certain time, special time, or not certain special time. But
I need to look into that.
I think we should have a second discussion. Like I said, we do see that
in the Bible sometimes, God intervening people. Like you said, like Hosea, like...
Look, but there's a balance.
They weren't in a current relationship to say, oh yeah, go with someone else. That's what I'm trying to
get to. Yeah, no. But no, so the point I bring up with that
is just... go to someone, but it never says...
leave this person to go there.
And this is where my kind
of... But there are examples of God saying, leave this thing and go to do this
thing. But that's for his...
The question is, right? Does God tell you to break up with someone? Not does God tell you to break up with someone and go to someone else. It's just, does God intervene in a relationship that way? And I think he does. I think there's multiple ways that he does it, like we've just discussed. But ultimately, you got to know the character of God. You can't overblow the idea, oh, God said this, and use it as an excuse for you just not wanting to commit. Mm. But it does happen.
I'll say research still pending.
Research still pending. Okay, cool. That's our first unconclusive one. No, I was just going to wrap up. Go ahead. All right, Aaron's going to give us a word.
We'll do this one, right? It's the verse of the day. So it's Hebrews 12:14. It says, in every relationship, be swift to choose peace over competition and run swiftly toward holiness. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord.
That's the verse of the day.
That's the verse of the day.
It's very applicable. That's pretty applicable.
That's really cool, because that's kind of linked.
So yeah. How do you guys discuss that holiness? What do you think holiness is?
That's making noise.
Sorry.
Should I find a definition?
Yeah, define. No, I just want to get your definition. I don't need the
holiness is. Definition. What do you think holiness is, Nathan?
We'll just have a conversation about it.
Holiness.
You can cut the recording if you want.
Well, yeah, let's wrap up.
Holiness is separate, but yeah.
Let's wrap up just so we can pack up. We can discuss this since we
Yeah, we can discuss it later.
But yeah, that was very applicable.
Should I just read it again and then we'll back I'm going to find a...
Taya, we miss you.
Yeah, this is like...
Miss you, Taya. Really? It's been so chaotic.
Yeah. Which is weird, because I thought Taya was the chaotic one.
No.
Who would have thought Taya was
Taya
the piece?
Taya reels it in.
Who thought Taya was the piece in the storm? I don't know.
Peace
in the Eunice.
Okay.
All right. So look.
What?
This crap is hard. I won't lie. Life is hard. Relationships are hard. Mm. Try to figure all this stuff out is hard, but God is good and God does speak. You know, God isn't just the book. The Spirit of God brings us into a relationship with God as well. Yeah. And that's some of this living and something we can rely on as we go through life. So trying to figure out all this stuff, we don't have the answers to this stuff. We're trying, you know, we're pursuing God. And as we go, we hope to know more. I feel like I sound so defeated.
That's not what your album Author of Life says. It says we have the answers.
I've never made an album called Author of Life, and I will never make an album called Author of
Life. It is Author of Life, isn't it?
Authors of the City.
Yeah, same thing.
Unbelievable.
Same thing. Same thing. Life in the City.
All right, cool. We're gone then.
Who's going to pray?
No one.
Oh.
I'll pray. No, I can't pray.
I want to pray.
All right, go on.
Heavenly Father, thank you for these discussions that we've been having. Thank you for our friendship and for being able to just hang out and just get to know you a little more. And yeah, I pray for everyone who's watching. I pray that they have a great month ahead. And yeah, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I've muted your mic now. So
I was praying after.
All right, guys. See you in March. See you later. Bye. Bye.